What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with our expert corner interviews where we bring in real-time short-term rental investors willing to share the good, the bad, the ugly. Today, I've got Mr. Don Scatena joining me. Don, I appreciate you joining me, my man. We're going to have a good conversation, getting caught up on everything you've been doing in the short-term rental world, but appreciate you jumping on here with me and having this conversation.
Good to see you again, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. So, before we get started, always just as a little bit of a warm up, we just say, hey, listen, like, tell me where you're from. What, tell me the family situation, what pays the bills, you know, why, you know, we'll dive into the short term rental investment road here in a minute. But I always like to get to know a little bit of your background.
Yeah. See, married, my wife, Shauna, her and I did this venture together. We live in California, just outside San Francisco, down in the suburbs. Been here most of my life. I'm in my early 50s. We have two children, both one in college at Cal Poly, and another going off to college, likely Indiana University. Excited about short-term rentals. Got into it to sort of build lifestyle wealth. Right, you know, I'm in my early 50s, so looking toward retirement, and this was definitely a venture we've been tracking. You know, followed Sean for a long time on Instagram, and jumped right into it.
Love it. So from California, like the San Francisco Bay Area, any other real estate investing in the past before you got interested in short-term rentals?
Yeah, I failed to mention that I work in education. My wife works in education. I'm sort of like district level administrator, like superintendent. Yeah. She's a school nurse. We had a property that was a long-term investment. Actually, it was our home for quite a while, for about 15 years. Then we converted it into a long-term rental. We had a great rate on it at the time. And after about 5 or 6 years, we sort of saw that it was plateauing in performance and equity building. We knew that this asset could be used as a launch point for us for short-term rentals, and we did it. And we did a 1031 exchange, and that was the action item. Leading up to that, though, we did a lot of research with Sean and his team, and took all the videos, and then started tracking areas where we wanted our first property to be.
Okay, so what? So I love that. So we had one investment that we decided, hey, listen, we kind of feel like our, you know, return on equity is stalling out a little bit, but probably it sounds like in that market, if it was your primary home and you were outside of the Bay Area and you said you kind of pretty much spend all your time there, that was probably some pretty decent appreciation that we were able to take that equity, roll it into something else after some research and diving into the markets. Like, how did you select the market? What was did you already have your eye on specific markets, or did you what was the process of selecting a market? Because I know for new investors, a lot of times that's where they get stuck just right out of the gate is, where do we go? Where do we put this money?
Yeah, it was, at first we thought California, we want to be able to drive there and benefit from it right away, have our kids with us. You know, really leveraging that lifestyle asset. Like, whenever it's downtime, we could use it. We tried that. And then California has some different rules and regulations, and so it became a little bit more difficult. Not that we're not going to go in California for future purchases, but it looked like this would not be, California was not going to play out as our first investment. So I did a lot of research. I worked with Jacob Payne, sent him a lot of different pro forma, used all the trainings from Vodacy, went through the pro forma process, probably sent a half dozen to 9 different properties. Our first focus was on Tennessee and then sort of like Blue Ridge Mountains and looking to Georgia. But then we traveled there and we were like, okay, this is not close enough for us to really take full advantage in our downtime. So then we looked at Flagstaff, Arizona and Scottsdale, Arizona, and fell in love with the idea of Sedona. And it was just really using AirDNA and tracking the towns and neighborhoods and areas and how they're performing. And then we were introduced to a great realtor who has got a Vodacy background in Chris Traynor.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, Chris is a rock star in that Sedona market, really knows that market well, has invested there himself. And had you guys been to Sedona before as you're going through this? Like, I mean, from California, like there's a lot of people I would say a lot of people from California don't go to Blue Ridge or go to the Smokies, but Sedona, you know, there's a good chance you've been there in the past, but maybe not.
No, we hadn't, you know, so it checked all the markers, like close proximity to a major metropolitan area within a couple hours of a major airport. So it checked those boxes, close to a national park, close to, you know, the Grand Canyon. So it had all those attributes. My dad had been there previously, loved it. But we had never been there. We had friends who had been there, and then we started looking at it and fell in love with it. And then we finally went and visited and just fell in love with the area. But yeah, I've been to Arizona many times, but never to Sedona.
Never to Sedona. It's beautiful there. Yeah. If you're listening, you've never been to that area of the country, it's stunning. And so, you know, we really like it as well. So you fell in love with it. You really liked it. So you narrowed it down to that market, it sounds like. How long were you in the acquisition mode? How many properties were we underwriting and searching for, or did something come up pretty quick?
We did underwrite. We probably did the pro forma and on about 8 to 9 properties in Sedona. And I didn't send all of them to Jacob, only sent the cream of the crop to him. So ran the numbers. It seemed like everything was doing well, but it definitely showed that in the process, we were preparing our home for sale, right? So we're preparing the
house. Okay, so we weren't right in the middle of the 1031 just yet.
Not yet. No. Okay. So we were preparing for the 1031, knowing that as soon as we got, you know, we got a cash offer for the house that we had. And so we had to move fast, but we are already prepared. So we were preparing all along, completed all the Vodacy classes in the spring, getting the house ready for sale in the summer. But all the while we're researching. And so we, you know, everything from Tennessee and then settled on Sedona. And then we just focused in on there. We visited Tennessee and Sedona within the same 2-week span. And we just said, this is so much better for us. I mean, we can get our family there. It's closer proximity and not as much competition. And so that sort of really helped propel us to another level.
Love it. Yeah, love it. And it's I don't know if you've never done a 1031 exchange, there's timelines on it, right? And so, you know, it's really nice to be able to defer those capital gains taxes and that capital gains that you're going to pay. You put those gains into another property, which allows you to not have to, you know, have that big capital gains bill when you sell a property that you have a lot of gain on. However, there's some boxes you have to check, and a lot of the boxes are that time frame, right? You have 45 days to identify a property. You have another 180 days to close on it. You have to identify a property within 45 days. So smart that you knew that going into it, that you're preparing for it, doing the research, understanding that, hey, listen, when we decide to pull the trigger, we're already down the road a ways, right? We already have done the research. We selected the market. We're starting to analyze some properties. So smart. And anybody that's listening, if you are in that process or have a property that you're going to do, like what Don and Shauna did, is where they're saying, hey, listen, we know we're going to use this asset to springboard into another asset. You need to get those ducks lined up in a row before, because I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people that call us and they say, I just sold my house. Now I'm trying to do 1031. I want to start figuring this out. And it's like, whoa, we're way behind the eight ball, right? You know, you don't figure it out in 45 days usually. And so love that you brought that part of the process up as well and how you prepared for that. So analyzing properties, starting to make some offers. So were you actually making offers in Sedona before putting yours up for sale, knowing it was going to sell pretty quick? Or were you comfortable at that stage to say, let's put ours up for sale because we're finding some good deals?
That's a great question. So we had plan A, plan B, plan C. Originally, we met with Sean, actually, and the original plan was, A, break up that capital gains and spread it out over 3 properties, right? Yeah. That became such a big task. And Sean's like, hey, maybe 2, you know, as your first half. And we actually settled on 1 big property instead that put us at the top of the market on a number of guests. Now, looking at, you know, how many offers, we did make an offer on another property and we did not get get it. And it and it's funny because they reached back out later, and then we had already seen this second property that we really liked. We had visited probably when we visited, we probably visited about 8 to 9 different properties, fell in love with one. The one that we ended up buying was not one that we actually visited. And so I do want to share, like, we put our faith in our realtor who's a Vodacy member, and he just was floored by the property. We fell in love with it. I mean, we felt like we had been there so many times because we'd done so many walkthroughs, and we ended up, you know, putting a offer out on the property. It checked the boxes on our timeline for the 1031. Financing wise, we had a backup plan in case financing from our original 1031 didn't come in time. We also negotiated for a lot of the furniture in the property. And love so it. That was embedded into the purchase price.
Yeah, I love it. And it's, it's very interesting you brought that up. Like, we've done that so many times. I can't tell people how many times it happens when you go on a viewing trip and you go look at properties. I actually now start to tell people, don't expect to actually find the property that you actually ultimately end up buying. More often than not, you'll go and you'll look at properties, you're looking at the area, you kind of get a feel for the area. But many times while you're there on those viewing trips, you're not actually identifying the property you end up ultimately buying. It happens a lot of times. What happened to you guys is, you end up coming home, the right property actually does come available, and you're like, hey, listen, we've been there, we've seen it, we trust our boots on the ground partners there, and we feel comfortable putting it under contract. Now, I usually follow that with, I always go there before I close on it. I never close without putting eyes on the property. And so I always go back out after I'm under contract during that inspection period. So curious if you guys did the same thing.
We did. I mean, we had it out if we didn't want to close. Yeah. And so we put our offer on, then went out to the property, and we had sort of a contingency, but we wanted it hit. Literally hit the market, and we had an offer within 24 hours of it hitting the market because it checked a lot of the boxes we were looking for. The property before was ideal and we loved it, but it was going to need some work to get to maximize the views and to maximize the outside of the property, where this one was almost, I mean, turnkey. It felt like turnkey at the time. It was a 4-bedroom, 4-bath, but there was an opportunity to turn it into a 6-bedroom, 4-bath in a short amount of time. And that obviously is what we did. And so it delayed our sort of launch later on. But it was, so it was a little, I want to say costly. It was not that expensive to convert to a 6-bedroom. Yeah. It was costly on the time side.
Time-wise.
So we didn't launch in October. We had to launch in, mid-November of 2025.
Yeah. So now short-term cost, long-term gain, right? Because having that, going from that 4-bedroom to 6-bedroom probably made and will make a big difference on the amount of revenue you can make with that property. And so, you have to bake in those holding costs on that front end to be able to not only complete the work, but also the holding cost of the property expenses while it's not being rented.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we had to count that into our equations. Like, okay, well, we're going to owe this much mortgage. We're not getting revenue, we're not in the market, but my wife and her sister going out and making the house look perfect and looks like something out of Architecture Digest now.
Yeah.
Where I probably by myself wouldn't have put that much thought into it, but turning it into a 6-bedroom, we did the pro forma for a 4-bedroom 4-bath, then we did it for a 6-bedroom 4-bath, and increasing from 12 guests to 16 guests put us in a much different market in Sedona.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love that. And as we're talking about these properties, you guys that are avid listeners, you know that we post these property links in the show notes. If you're new to this, these conversations, go to the show notes on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. We will have the property links in there so you can check out these properties. I always say success leaves clues. One of the best things to do is visualize what a really good property and setup looks like. And you guys did an amazing job there in Sedona. And so we're getting it ready to launch. We had a little bit of a delay. We added some value to that property, making it a 6-bed instead of a 4, but cost us a little bit of time. We launched it toward the end of the year, you said in November. And so walk me through, any, you know, how was the launch? Well, let's maybe even talk about how we decided what we were going to do management wise. You guys are busy. You have full-time jobs. You needed to find a management partner there in Sedona. It's not in your backyard. And so walk me through a little bit of that stuff.
Sure. We interviewed three companies. One's the largest one there, a medium sized, and then a super small boutique-y size management company. Each one had its own value and and rates. And obviously the smaller was a higher rate, but was going to give us a lot more attention. And so the medium had a great market share. But we decided not to go with them because the rate also didn't fit into our budget that we were hoping for, at least for the first year. So we knew whatever we were going to do, want to make sure that we had good terms. So we did go with the largest because it gave us the ability to get ourselves out there and scale up quickly with reviews. They had, you know, and so that company, and so it has its pluses and minuses. So we interviewed one of those companies. I think we interviewed three. We might have interviewed four. And they were really, it was learning. We used the document from Vodacy for all the questions for each one of the interviews. Super helpful. The things that I wouldn't have thought about if I wasn't trained by Vodacy. And so that was really beneficial. And really, it just came down to scalability, and being able to hit the ground running. And we went with the larger organization, the company.
Yeah, good. And so that, so as you launch it, like we always say, like there's pros and cons, and you explained that really well. There's pros and cons to all of those different, you know, scenarios, small, medium, or large, right? And the large ones, they have a lot of SOPs. They're, like you said, they've got the systems and processes you plug right into. Now, sometimes they don't want to, they're not going to be as, you know, as accommodating if you want to do things outside of those SOPs, right? And so because it doesn't fit their business model, they have hundreds of properties they're working with. They can't have a different SOP for every single property, where a small one is going to be a lot more flexible with that kind of stuff. But, you know, sometimes they cost you a little bit more because they're going to be more hands-on and they have more, you know, there is more flexibility there. So lots of different things to consider when it comes to management. It's not a decision that anybody should take lightly. I'm glad to hear that you guys did some interviewing, and we always are. I say it's the Achilles heel for, you know, for a reason, because it's always something we always second guess our choices many times as well. And we say, maybe I would like to have this over here. You know, always feels like the grass is greener on the management side, I feel like, you know, but once you find that right one, they're worth their weight in gold. But sometimes we're in that stage where we're like, hey, listen, let's kind of figure this out together. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And some of the larger ones, it's not because of their, you know, that they're not professional and hit the ground running and they've got all that stuff going on. They're big for a reason. They're good business people and they've done a good job as far as building their business. But sometimes, you know, if we want to do things different, which sometimes we do at Vodacy, we want to do things outside of the norm. That doesn't always, it's not always the greatest fit for the larger companies. And so when people listen to this the podcast, they've heard me talk about management. And I always lean toward the small boutique ones because I know I always want to do something outside the norm. And it's just going to frustrate the crap out of the big companies.
Yeah, that's a great point. So that was our first probably learning or frustration was we have expectation and their expectation is, hey, everyone looks the same on our website. And we're like, our whole point is to look different than your other 10 properties that will be searched. We want to stand out. That played out when they required us to take their, photographers. So we could have bought our own. So one of the learnings was I could have used our own photographer. Hindsight, we probably should have used our own photographer. We ended up having to toggle together their photos with some of the real estate photos, with some of our personal photos, and those are the things that sort of played out. So we're still not 100% certain we love our photos on the website. It is working. It's getting attention, but we don't have that money shot, we don't feel like, yet. The biggest problem is we don't have time to get out there because it's booked. And so we're not able to get out there. Problem to have, right? Yeah. And it seems like the photos are working, but I think it is something that we can definitely improve on. But the big group, they said, hey, this is the company we use for f- photographs, and we're like, they're not supposed to come until here because we're not going to be done with the walls being painted here. And like, well, they have to come on this day. I mean, it was just this back and forth of working with a bigger company where it wasn't sort of the attention to detail we're looking at. It took a lot more management on our side, but they were responsive. So when we say we want a sort of the Vodacy effect here, they didn't understand what I meant. But when I explained it, I'm like, this is what we really want to happen. They were responsive. It just, it took a lot more work than I think if you just outlined it with the boutique shop, they would have done it right away.
Right. And then they, on the drawback of the boutique shops, a lot of times they don't have a lot of the SOPs. It is a one man operation. You're not talking to different people in different departments that's what they do and they get things done. So sometimes there's little delays on things there too. So there's always, and you mentioned something we talked about before, but I want to highlight it, where you would assume that people like management partners, you know, the more money we make, the more money they make, right? And we would assume that they would want us to stand out if we're willing to stand out. And that's actually not the case. When you find these larger management companies, they want everybody to look, you know, equivalent, and they want it to be equitable. And so they don't want one person standing out above and beyond everybody else. And so it's very interesting. It's one of the number one things that we get pushback on is, no, we need everybody to kind of blend in. And as a consumer or as a marketer, I don't want to blend in because I know that consumers, if I blend in, the consumer is just going to look at me all the same as everybody else. Right. And so you're kind of trying to navigate, hey, listen, I get why they want that. I get why the management company would want that. If, you know, they don't want somebody standing out above and beyond everybody else's outside of it, unless the property itself is just going to do that on its own. And so they want them to be congruent and blend in and equitable and everything else. But from a consumer standpoint, consumers are willing to spend more if there's differentiation, right? If there is something that's different. And so we're always kind of navigating that a little bit once we launch these as a marketer to say, okay, how can I now, you know, how can I be different? And that's not always what your management partners want on their website.
No, because then they'll have to replicate that for all their other clients, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I'm a little bit more like, I understand that part. My wife wants it a certain way. And she's far more demanding than I am. It's great. We have this sort of balance of, I'm like, I can see both sides of why it's happening. And she's very demanding. They, you know, our management customer service person probably hates my wife, you know, whatever, because she can be demanding and she wants it a certain way. And that's what made us sort of, you know, put us in this position is her ability to have a vision on what the property is supposed to look like. I was more about the amenities. I wanted to make sure there were a lot of things that we could add and it looks, it looks to sort of like a wellness property or something like that. And so, having that balance is really important, especially when you're with your partner, with your spouse doing this work.
Yeah. And I love, again, you guys there's a lot this property has to offer with that wellness vibe. You know, you've got the game rooms, you got a little speakeasy going on. Like it's got obviously Sedona is not complete without the amazing Red Rock views, and you guys have that. And so there's a lot going on to like about the property just in and of itself and the way that you guys set it up and the attention to detail and being a little bit on the, hey, listen, I want it a certain way shows up in these properties and the customer appreciates it. And these properties, performance is going to appreciate it as well. And so I don't think that there's anything wrong with being real picky on how things turn out. And so I like the being real picky on the details.
Thanks.
So tell me about, we got it launched. We're going into, we're kind of coming out of the what is right now kind of peak season with that the spring break, and we're not in the really hot summer months. Sedona's a little cooler than like Scottsdale, so you don't have that big lull in the middle of the summer. But how is the first year going? You said you're gaining that traction, you're getting those bookings. It's hard to get there because it's booked, so that's always good news. So maybe share some of the hardest parts or some of the successful parts of that launch that you're if you do it again, you're going to double down on some of the good things, and if there's things that come to mind on things that you would avoid different or do different next time.
Yeah, making sure we have the money money set aside. We don't need perfection. and don't delay for perfection. You know, make it look a way that you want, but you don't need to have perfection prior to launch. I mean, prior to launch, you want it a certain way, but it doesn't have to be perfect. So don't delay it. Time. And then for us, the hardest part was really proximity. So we had to spend, you know, for example, I've been out there three times, probably a grand total of 14 days. I worked on the property. I did a bunch of work on there in the fall leading up to the launch. It's funny because when you're there, you're working and I'm sharing, hey, there's a nice hiking trail right up the street here. Yeah. I've never been on that hiking trail, to be brutally honest, because I've never had the ability to go on it yet.
Yeah, because you're working too much.
Soon when I'm taking my family out there on a vacation to actually enjoy the property. So so summer in Sedona is about 20 degrees cooler than Phoenix and Scottsdale. So it is cooler, but it will be in the 90s. So you do see properties with water features, pools, stand out and book fully for the summer. So we made sure we added a cold plunge. So that was sort of that wellness feature. And then looking to the summer, the rates definitely were not what we anticipated for the summer. They really are much lower when you don't have that pool. So that's sort of a goal for us is how do we fit a pool install into a few into the future of this property.
Yeah.
So that's sort of, you know, look ahead.
Yeah. Really good point as you're diving into that and understanding what some of those amenities and really some of those amenities, like you mentioned, that can make a big difference in the off season. Like we've got some members down in Joshua Tree area and same type of a situation. The properties with the pools perform so much better in the summertime than the ones without. They're like massively different amounts of money that you make in the summertime with those pools than without the pool. And so like in Sedona, you're mentioning that you're kind of learning that might be something similar there. So you're looking to say, hey, maybe we that's an amenity that we need to consider for future plans. And so as you look toward the future, what are some of those future plans, both with this property and for you guys on additional properties? You kind of mentioned maybe we'd like another property in California sometime somewhere. And so what does the future look like?
Yeah. So looking ahead, you know, definitely on the finance side, want to make sure we refinance within the next 6 to 8 months. Our rate is okay, but it's not. So we look at the finance part as definitely something that's going to add, you know, revenue to our bottom line. Our goal our first year is break even if we can. Mm-hmm. And that's not including what we invested into it, obviously, is to break even from an expense standpoint. So that was our goal. Maybe taking back some of the do some more self-management. My wife would love this to be her sort of full-time job in managing the property, even though proximity it's difficult, but I think we're learning some tricks there. Those two together actually would probably net about 25% more in cash revenue. Flow for us in our back pocket, to be honest. And then the pool, how to finance a pool and where do you find time for the pool? Best time to install a pool in Sedona is the summer because it's cheap. You have labor, it's a downtime, but that's actually when you want your pool. So in the winter, the pools get installed, but it's very busy and labor is more expensive, materials are more expensive, and everyone's redoing their pools in the winter. So we're trying to do this sort of balancing act. We have a couple estimates coming in and we're looking to what the potential, or is a pool necessary? It's performing decently right now. If we pull back on our self-management, maybe a pool's not necessary. And we just say, hey, those 3 months in the summer, we're not gonna get those rates that we get in the spring and the fall and around the holidays. So are we okay with it? Is the property, the numbers I ran, the pool definitely will probably see about a 20% increase in income and revenue. So
and that's what it, for me, when it comes to those big amenities like that, pools, a very good one example, because one, it's expensive, two, it takes time. Your properties actually has to be offline. It's really difficult to be working on a pool while people are at your property. So you do need to pull it off. My advice there, always pull it off and schedule it on the time you're losing the least amount of revenue. And so that is going to probably be in the summertime. Secondly, is I always look at it for me, my personal like payback period is about a 5-year payback. That means I'm getting 20% return on my money. So I want to make sure if a pool is going to cost me, it's going to cost me $100,000. I want to make sure I'm getting at least an additional $20,000 in revenue every single year for me to make sense of that pool. Now, pools also add value to a property. So there's that to consider, but I always look at it just from a cash flow perspective, a very easy, like, is this amenity going to give me at least a 20% return on my money, which means I'm getting it paid back within a 5-year period. And so for me, whatever it's worth on, that's how I run the numbers when it comes to that kind of stuff and saying, is it worth it? Now, something like a pool though, that is, you are value adding to a property as well. You've got some return there as far as equity and appreciation. And so that can factor into that decision a little bit, but I think that it is. And then self-management. I mean, that's it's very interesting that you brought that up as, hey, maybe we pulled this on and something your wife would want to do. You get an instant boost to the bottom line when it comes to that. It's our largest expense as far as a line item expense on our at the end of the year. For those of us that have full service property managers, it's going to be our largest expense. And if you can eliminate that and bring that back in house, and you have the time to do it, could be something that that parlays you into that next property. So love it. And I like that you brought up the time too. One of the things that and I'm gonna I'll say this, but then ask you the final question of what do you wish you would have done different and give advice to your younger self. But you mentioned a minute ago, really budgeting the right amount of time from acquisition to launch, because that is one of the biggest mistakes I think people make, is that properties, even if they're furnished, even if they're set up, like this property was basically turnkey, you said, and it still takes time to get it launched. If you have to do one or two things to it, if you have to order any furniture, many times that's if you're ordering furniture or having to furnish a property, you got 4 to 6 weeks of just waiting for the stuff, right? And so to deliver, if you're buying it wholesale. And so there's many times where it's a good 2 to 3 months before you launch. And a lot of people don't budget for that, right? And so, even if it's turnkey, like you mentioned, it's you do one or two projects, before you know it, you're spending a little bit of time. So, I appreciate you bringing that up as well. Again, our goal is always to help people walk into this with their eyes wide open, and the lessons learned are what helps us mainly do that. And so, the final question is always, as you kind of look back and as you look toward the future for the next move, like what piece of advice would you like to have given your younger self, or wish somebody gave you, or that you would have paid attention to? Maybe you did hear it, but is there something that comes to mind with that?
Yeah, let's see. I mean, we tried to trick out as many amenities as possible. Maybe that wasn't always so necessary. The good thing is there's a lot of cool amenities coming with the property, a sauna, dry, and it was really built into, but we had not... Our better self should have walked the property before, and just, even though we wanted to get this property, it's like, okay, read the market, go visit for a week, and then you can make that offer. Not that it would have changed the outcome, but it probably would have changed like sort of what we thought about the property and what we needed to do, because we were already sort of setting up for furnishings and things of that nature. A cool story is, if you look at the property, it's called the Wild Horse. There's an actual 12-foot tall metal horse in the middle of the backyard. Yeah. And that initially, the owners, who are very artistic people from Sedona, who are relocating back down to the Scottsdale, they wanted to take their horse with them. And we were like, we want that horse. Yeah. That all our marketing is going to be built around it for Instagram and everything else. So, my better self looking back, I'd like to leverage social media more on promoting the property and having that in my back pocket, and both my wife and I being more familiar with how to do that. Mm-hmm. Looking back, probably not sweating the small stuff and spending money on the small stuff, should have predicted like the need for more washer and dryers and building that in. Maybe that should have been gone in before I put in the putting green, right? So it's like that sort of those little things that you could have added, put money into instead of all the amenities. And the other thing was the game room. So like all the game room stuff arrives, I didn't actually spend that extra money to actually have someone put all the game room stuff together. And those people were like $50 an hour when I ended up hiring them. And I could have just had it put together by the company that I bought it from for like $300. I was like, oh, I'm not adding $300 to a $600 pool table.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, no, I should have done that because it took this other person like 6-7 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. It costs double that on the back end, right?
Wow. Yeah. So those are the types of things, you know, knowing that now, one, making sure I do it and have enough time for myself and my wife to get there and do a lot of the work ourselves.
Love it. Awesome. Well, Don, this has been a really fun conversation. I appreciate you joining me. And this is, I always know, like, our expert corner interviews on Fridays always get the most comments, the most views, and the most listens, because our you know, I know people like listening in on these conversations as much as I like having them. And so I appreciate you spending your time with us today. And those of you listening, we very much appreciate you spending your time with us. Our goal is to help you walk into this with your eyes wide open. That's what we always say, and share, you know, some of the challenges, share some of the successes. We always say success leaves clues. Go check out Don's property, and we'll put that in the show notes. And so I always ask you two favors at the end of these episodes. If you do know somebody who wants to be a part of these conversations, share the show. You didn't have to listen to a whole bunch of ads or sponsorships on the show. So the only way it grows is if you guys share it. And if you like it, the show grows. If it doesn't, then I guess we need to talk about something different. But we know that you guys are giving us some thumbs up, and we appreciate the love that you're showing us. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.